Hi there, Dr. B here with your Module 7 clarifying lecture. This will be the last clarifying lecture for the term because most people, by the time Module 8 ends, everybody's on their way to their Spring 2. So this will be the last one that we'll do for the term. Your presentations looked really, really good. I would say the biggest thing is to watch your terms. For example, behavior analysis. I saw a lot of people saying board certified behavior analysis. It's behavior analyst. Behavioral analysis versus behavior analysis. You did get points taken off for those. So make sure that, you know, if you're referring to a person, they're a behavior analyst. If you're referring to the science, it's behavior analysis. All right. Also remember that research does not prove anything. Based on the tenet of falsifiability, and also philosophic doubt. Anything in science can always be overturned with the right amount of research. So we never say that research proves, we say research supports. One big thing is that I want you to make sure that in your presentations you avoid using the BACB logos or anything BACB. Also, if you have something like BACB or BCBA in training or BCBA coursework or BCBA candidate, please, please, please remove that from your resume or your job title, because the board can and will sanction you for that. I was sanctioned a couple of years ago for using a logo years and years and years and years ago, and they found it. So I don't want you to be kept from taking the test over technicality. So do make sure that you're careful with those words. The same thing here. Same thing with verbal behavior. Remember that verbal behavior, that you can't say that a command is a request, a tact is a comment, and interverbal is conversation. Technically, that's not true. Colloquially, that's what we say, right? Mand specifies its own reinforcer. Tact is reinforced socially. However, it does not specify the properties of the reinforcer. And an interverbal is something that is evoked by social contingencies and also reinforced by social contingencies. So make sure that you're using those technical terms, because once you get to the test, you're going to have those cold in order to answer the questions. Okay, let's talk about your interteaching. It is very important that you discuss your interteaching. If I see I in any of your interteaching, I'm going to assume that you didn't discuss it, even if you have the video. So please proofread your answers so that you have a cohesive group answer in your interteaching. I'm still seeing errors like reinforcing people, punishing people, the reinforcements. Remember that reinforcer is a thing. Reinforcers are things as well. Reinforcement is a process, so there's no such thing as reinforcements, and yet you can never reinforce a person. Remember, there's a difference between reward and reinforcer. Rewards are happy things we give to people. Reinforcers strengthen responding. So I'm still seeing people using those terms interchangeably, and it's very, very important that you use your terms correctly. Because again, if you're in the situation where you take the exam, you're going to have those cold. And if you're still fuzzy about it's a reward, you will have trouble with the exam. There seems to be some issue with the group contingencies. I'm not sure if it's the book, the presentation, where it is, but a lot of people switched interdependent and dependent group contingencies. So independent, most of you got up to the individual. You know, if you're taking a quiz in this class, it's a group contingency, but everybody gets their own grade. An interdependent group contingency is, and I like this, I got this from the May Institute website, where one person or set of people are the quote-unquote hero. So there's one person or a set of people who, if they engage in the response, the entire group contacts reinforcement. Dependent contingencies are kind of like your inner teaching, where everybody has to do it, and reinforcement is delivered to the entire group based upon the entire group's responding. Remember that motivation and motivating operations are two different things. So I'm still seeing people saying that reinforcement motivates. Pretty sure it's in the book, but that's not true. A motivating operation is an antecedent that signals whether the contingency is going to be stronger or weaker. With the interdependent group contingency, apparently with the book, they say the secret student, picking someone and not informing the rest of the group who that person is. That has a level of deception I'm not quite sure I'm comfortable with, but it is in the book. And most of you said you preferred independent contingencies, but the other two contingencies are actually a little stronger. So this is a good example of why what we prefer is not always the best thing to do to increase our responding. So, and it's also good to know that satisfaction is not necessarily the most important thing in every single circumstance. With peer-mediated stuff, you pretty much got that. Not a problem. The one thing that I saw in just about everybody's inner teaching is that, and you'll learn this when you get to 624 as well, you're going to have to define what good social skills are, what it means to be well-liked, what it means to be competent. You can't just assume that people will say, oh yeah, competent, you know, we all have the same definition. Not necessarily. You do have to define what behaviors constitute a competent responder. Something to keep in mind too is that instructions can serve as stimulus control. So an instruction can have stimulus control over a behavior is a better way to say it. So I can say, go to the left and at the end of the street, you'll see the house. And that would be an instruction that would serve as stimulus control over your behavior. It's called tracking. So it is possible to have that. I do want to talk a little bit about Mrs. Glad. Mrs. Glad, it shouldn't fade her token system because expecting rewards and becoming dependent upon them. Remember, there's no such thing as this intrinsic-extrinsic dichotomy. Okay, there's no such thing as intrinsic reinforcement versus extrinsic reinforcement. There is, however, a difference between natural reinforcement and contrived reinforcement. So fading the schedule of reinforcement doesn't mean that you're making people less dependent on rewards. What it means is that you're moving contrived contingencies to more natural ones. So no matter what, we're going to engage in behavior that's reinforced. If it's reinforced, we do it. If it's not reinforced, we don't do it. Simple as that. So to say that, you're getting dependent on reinforcement is actually really not true based upon the science of behavior. And if you think about token systems as currency, then you'll see that token systems are all around us. Currency is all around us. Whether it's the money we pay to, purchase a commodity, or it's the ticket we use to get on the train or on the plane, whether it is the rewards bucks, and I'm using that colloquially, that you get whenever, you're a frequent flyer or you rent cars a lot or something like that, or you have a loyalty card. Those are all token systems. So token systems are all around us. What's the issue with stopping a token system abruptly? Well, if you're stopping a token system or any intervention for that matter abruptly, you are discontinuing the response reinforcer relationship. What do we know that as? We know that as extinction. So when a behavior is placed on extinction, what happens? First, we get an extinction burst, right? So we get a burst of behavior. We get these inductive responses where people start to say and do different things to contact reinforcement for those behaviors. And then eventually everything drops off. So let's say that you're in a classroom and you're working with a teacher who says the kid didn't need the token system anymore, so we stopped abruptly. What would you expect to see? Well, you would expect to see some things that might be reinforcing to the teacher's behavior, because you might see things like they're even better without the token system. That's that extinction burst. They're engaging in more and more and more helpful behaviors. Those are those inductive responses, but what do we know? If those behaviors are not reinforced, they're going to go away and there's going to be a crash and burn. So that's another reason why it's important to fade token systems. Let's talk a little bit about this idea of counter control. It's actually somewhat controversial. So counter control is the idea that one party delivers a contingency and then another party counters that with another contingency. So you could call it clapping back. You'll learn more about it when you get to 623 in Recoercion and its Fallout. But some of you said, you know, the whole landlord-tenant thing is kind of a classic counter-control thing. I do agree with that. So, you know, if you look at landlords, pretty much everything we do is based on negative reinforcement contingencies, right? You know, don't put things on the wall and you'll get your deposit back. Pay your rent on time and we won't evict you. So a lot of it is escape and avoidance contingencies, prime category for counter control. So with what do we know about negative reinforcement contingencies? We know that people typically do the bare minimum in order to escape, avoid, or delay. So they may start hiding pets in the house. They may put maybe one hole in the wall, but not a whole lot. They may, you know, fix things, but not fix them as well as they would if it was their own house. These are all negative reinforcement contingencies, and they kind of look like counter control, don't they? But whether or not they are is up for debate. Skinner says they are. You'll learn more about it in Sinman. Mentalism. Let's talk a little bit about mentalism. Remember that mentalism are those things that when we go inside someone's head to try to explain their behavior, and there really is a better outside the skin contingency that can be observed and measured. And so mentalism is really those explaining things with explanations that cannot be observed or measured by an outside party. So rather than saying that we pay our rent on time to avoid an eviction notice, we might say something like, well, we don't want to get the landlord mad, so we struck him a check. The latter is mentalism. The former is behaviorism. The latter is probably prettier, but the former is more precise. All right, so this is it for me for this term. I will be in touch with you about how to access your final grades, how they'll be posted, all that good stuff. So expect to hear from me during the week. Thank you very much for a great semester. I hope you learned a lot, and I should see you in 622. So have a great spring too. Take care.